This program has been brought to you by Cider Week New York City, happening November 6th through 15th, 2015. For more information, check out ciderweeknyc.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
And welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica, your favorite podcast, my favorite podcast radio show.
The one you listen to most.
The one I listen to never, much to our engineer's chagrin, who says you have to listen to yourself. But I'd rather
you
not.
Experience it, yeah. Full body. Yeah. I'm Erica.
This is Erica, my business partner, my pal, my podcast co-host. And we, this podcast is all about our favorite discoveries. It is based on a newsletter we started called 10 Things. You should sign up for it at ofakind.com, where you will also find products from emerging designers we love and the stories behind those products and those people.
I think that's all the things. Thank or at least you. All the things we need to say before we get into the other things which we are addressing today.
The other things this episode, this week, are awesome.
Yes. So we are basically, we're heading into like couch season.
Nesting season.
Yeah.
Cuffing season.
Sweatpants season. Whatever you want to call it. Yeah. And two things that we want to get into today are DIY books you might actually use.
Yes.
And TV shows you should be staying up all night to watch.
Totally.
Or important topics.
Staying inside all day Saturday to watch.
Yeah, whatever. You do you.
Totally. So the DIY books, not to hate on DIY books, but there's so many of them that are kind of cheesy, and Pinterest, I think, has like jumped the shark in DIY stuff and given it a bad name these days.
Or they're either, you know, they can be cheesy or just really hard.
Really hard.
And
like, remember when we posted a link in one newsletter to a washi tape wall? Like, you wallpapered your entire wall in washi tape?
Which looked amazing, but I don't have the skill set for that.
No.
So a lot of these things either require too much equipment or too much space, or, you know, a garage where you can dry something you've just painted, mm-hmm. which I don't have and you don't have.
No.
And I think a lot of people don't have, nor do I, we're a little too ADHD to be working on something for multiple weekends in a row.
Yes. That's the other thing.
So we've pulled together a list of what we're calling instructables books.
Hey, I like that.
Yeah.
Term.
Instructables. So the first book that we came across recently that kind of inspired or kicked off this whole idea for us was this book called Fresh and Easy, which is a cookbook.
Yes.
A very simple lead-in to DIY, because making food yourself is something
the ultimate
people are comfortable
DIY.
Make yourself dinner. DIY. Yeah.
Do it yourself.
So we were introduced to this book by the designers Lizzie and Catherine Fortunato behind the line, Lizzie Fortunato Jewels. And they are just the best and have so many pro tips about entertaining and all of that.
They're pretty good at life in that way.
Yes. And this book is so good that they live four blocks apart, but they each own a copy.
So
if that's not a vote of confidence, I don't know what is.
I mean, they're twins. They sleep in the same bed many nights despite having separate apartments. And they each own a copy of this book. And the thing that they were so like rushing to tell us about this book is that it's not just a cookbook. It actually shows a beautiful picture of every stage of the recipe, which I think is so important, because if you're not a seasoned cook and someone's like, just mince this and zest that, and
what does mince look like? What does dice look like?
And what does dice finally look like for an onion versus a, I don't know, piece of ginger or bacon? And it shows every step, which is so wonderful and amazing, because I think even the most seasoned cooks sort of like struggle sometimes to figure out exactly what you mean about, you know, layering this or sprinkling that.
They compared it, the illustrations or the photography in the book, to a Mac computer manual, which I really, really loved.
Totally. And it is, it's like on all white background. It's very clean. They're beautiful pictures and illustrations. And yeah, it just, looking at it, I was like, I totally need this. It's called Fresh and Easy. Also, isn't that just what you want in a dinner? Fresh and easy.
In life.
Yeah.
You just want to feel fresh and easy.
It's true.
I also think that so many people are visual learners, mm-hmm. and this sort of caters to that in a way that I think many cookbooks do not.
Yeah.
I recently bought it for my uncle and my cousin because my cousin, who is 13, wants to get more into cooking. And I think this is a good way for her to do so because she's old enough, to cook. But it is a little bit daunting. And she's at that stage where she wants to be able to teach herself things. She doesn't want someone to have to show her everything.
Totally.
And this is sort of a good way for her to go at that.
I totally started cooking at that age with Fanny at Chez Panisse. Do you remember that book?
Yes.
Yeah. And it was such an empowering experience.
Which is Alice Waters talking about her daughter.
Yeah. It's exactly. And their recipes for kids. A topic for another podcast for sure. Or episode for sure. The other book that I just discovered recently is called Do It Yourself. 50 Projects by Designers and Artists by Thomas Barnthaler. And I believe it's a Phaidon book. And it is the most beautiful, classy DIY book I've ever seen. And I basically brought it in to the office earlier this week and was like, Erica, I'm just like basically so mad that we didn't write this because it is
dope.
It is so dope. It is all of these really heavy hitting designers and artists, everyone from John Baldessari, who is this big luminary artist and art professor, to ladies and gentlemen, who's one of the most amazing sort of home and product
tabletop designers
working today, who have given you these DIY projects that are not only really beautiful and don't look crafty and don't look like you made them yourself, but they're actually simple for the most part. Some of them are a little bit more
and
complicated.
And they're creative. They're just, I mean, a lot of them have serious utility, and then some of them are just really fun and light, but not overthought out, or I don't know. They don't feel rough at all.
Exactly. And, you know, some of them, there's a rug in there that I think has like three pieces, which is a piece of wood sort of shaped like a hexagon, a rope, and then some sort of metal contraption to tie it all together. And you basically make a rug by wrapping the rope.
By spooling
it. And then you have this awesome little area rug that looks great. And it is beautifully done. It's beautifully written. And it just feels like if Of a Kind were ever going to write a DIY book, it would look something like this.
Another book that we encountered a while ago that I think we saw it at Pearl Soho.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And I called you over to look through it.
I remember it clearly.
That's how we felt about it. It's called Made by Hand by Lena Corwin, who is a sort of design goddess in her own right. And she pulls together a lot of designers in the realm in which we work to create projects. And one of the things I really like about this book is that it has multiple products or multiple projects from each of the designers. So I think you get a really strong sense of what they're all about and can get a pretty good understanding of who they are and what they stand for. And Caitlin Motion and Aaron Considine, two designers who we've worked with, are represented in it, which Yay.
And Erin Considine, her jam is that she does natural dyeing with flowers and other vegetables, everything, fruits, that
onion skins.
And she grows them all
in
her backyard or in Williamsburg, and then uses, so she basically boils these things in water and it extracts the natural dyes, and then she uses those dyes to dye the fibers that she uses to create necklaces and other pieces of jewelry. And we know this because we did an amazing workshop with her a couple years ago, and she went through the whole process with us, and it was surprisingly simple and an awesome way to make friendship bracelets.
Yes. And it has that sort of like moody, broody, earth tony colors that I think are very much having a moment. All the desert hues.
Yes, and basically looks so beautiful with brass medallions that she incorporates with them. I mean, she does such a beautiful job at all of this, and seeing the way she did it, it was like, yes, it's simple. It's also so time-consuming and laborious, and it was one of those moments where you're like, if I ever thought that the pieces you sold were expensive, I now think they're vastly undervalued because I see everything that goes in, or not undervalued, but underpriced.
Underpriced.
Once you see what really goes into this.
Completely.
And it's amazing.
If there's anybody who's interested in doing a really deep dive into that, this book just came out called The Modern Natural Dyer by Christine Vajar or Fahar. I don't know.
I'm Vajar.
That's any of those things. It's by this woman, Christine. And she lives in the Bay Area and is also a huge natural dyeing advocate. She's worked with designers like Voices of Industry. She is a good sort of introduction to all of these things. And it's like, I don't know. I think the natural dyeing is an interesting design-oriented outgrowth of the composting movement and all of that stuff, a way to use all of these things that are probably already sitting in your refrigerator or about to go in your trash can and do something interesting with
absolutely.
Them.
Should we cut to commercial?
Let's give Danielle the time she deserves.
Yes, let's do it.
All right. We're going to go to commercial.
See you on the other side.
Cider Week helps to bring profitability to local orchards while reviving heirloom apple varieties by cultivating awareness of craft cider. Cider Week connects cider makers from New York State and select pioneering guest cideries outside the state to buyers from top restaurants, bars, and retail shops across New York City. Those culinary tastemakers, in turn, help increase consumer awareness of cider's pleasures by hosting public events, tastings, dinners, classes, and pairings that build appreciation and demand for regional ciders.
Hey, this is Michael Harlan Turkel from The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org. You know, every Tuesday at 3 p.m., I stop in the studio, walk to the far side, sit in my favorite blue chair. If you ever stop by Roberta's, look through the window, and you can see that chair itself. You know, and I've been sitting here for 5+ years, 250 episodes, have met some of the best people in the food world, such great culinary minds. And recently we just relaunched our website, added a whole bunch of shows, but we still need you, our listeners, our friends, our fans, even guests themselves, to help us out. We're 501c3, a nonprofit, and we're not really doing this for the money. We're doing this for the love, for the greater good of the food world as a whole. So get on heritageradionetwork.org, click that little pounding heart in the top right corner, and you know, give what you can, or just keep on listening. We'd love to have you.
Hello, and welcome back to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We are going to jump right into the second segment of the show because we have an amazing guest who we will, I'm sure, not have enough time with for all the questions we have with her.
Oh my God, we have so many questions.
Danielle, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, this is Danielle Nussbaum, who's the senior West Coast editor of Entertainment Weekly and our personal TV guru critic, everything.
I mean, I would say just pop culture resource in general.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I'm being so narrow.
Yeah, don't be narrow-minded about this. So Danielle moved to LA, and so we see her, like, I don't know, once a quarter, I'd say, when we're in each other's cities, and basically just grill her. What should we be watching? What teen stars do we need to be following? Who do we need to know about?
And all of the important questions of our day.
And if you needed any convincing, I'm just going to say that I would say almost exactly a year ago, maybe a little more, we sat down at breakfast with Danielle and said, what should we be watching? And she said Jane the Virgin, and that was before anybody was watching Jane the Virgin, and then lo and behold, Jane the Virgin became a whole thing.
Boom.
Well, you know, I don't think you guys are giving yourselves enough credit, because your culture coverage is great and you have great taste too. So just, I mean, not just because you know I have great taste, but really.
But I think that's a big part of it.
You have culture taste. So let's just say it's a product of all of our tastes together.
We're great.
There we go.
We're all great.
Perfect.
So Danielle, we basically really just want to ask you all about television as we get into the winter months and are just going to spend all of our time on our couches.
Yeah, and fall TV is like full swing, and we
there's
are
so
busy
much I
ladies,
watch.
And
yeah.
we don't know what to watch, and we need you to tell us everything.
Exactly. So what should we be watching?
What new shows?
Wait, I have a question. What's winter? Sorry, I'm down here for you.
Oh, God. Burn. It's so nice and fancy and waterless out there in LA, isn't it?
Okay. Here's the thing. Despite the fact that I'm somewhere where it's sunny every morning when I wake up, I still manage to, my DVR records 23 hours of scripted television a week.
Dang, girl.
Dang.
Your job is the best.
Most of it. Some of it?
Okay.
You watch a good chunk of it.
So what are the new shows that you're watching?
Okay, so my taste is all over the place, as you guys know.
But that's
so
what's great about it.
The new shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows on TV right now is Quantico. Are either of you watching that?
Obsessed.
My mom has been telling me like for 3 weeks to watch it.
I
haven't
done
it yet.
Obsessed. And I can't decide. Like, this is one of the areas in life where I do not trust my taste because I like really bad television. And I'm like, I don't know if this is just poor man's scandal or what, but I am obsessed and so into it. It really keeps me going.
You mean Smart Man's Scandal?
Yeah, sure. Yes, I guess. This is why I'm saying, like, I just find it really fun. I don't know if the acting is so amazing. How do you feel about it?
You think it's a romp?
Yes, I think it's a romp. Exactly.
A romp. Yeah. I think it's extraordinarily clever. So you've got, if you want to know who to watch, Priyanka Chopra, who's the lead.
Yes, she's really good.
I mean,
she is really good.
Absolutely gorgeous. Like, besides that, amazing actress. So let's just set the premise up for people who aren't your mom and aren't the two of us.
Yeah.
Which is basically that you've got this class of FBI agents in training at Quantico. They all start together, but the show starts with her waking up in the middle of an explosion in New York. I think it's Grand Central, right?
Yes.
It's been blown up?
Yeah, exactly.
And they are blaming her. So the whole series is told in flashbacks and flash forwards as they try to figure out. It wasn't her, by the way. That's not a spoiler. It just wasn't. It can't be. It's too gorgeous.
Way too pretty to be a terrorist.
It goes right for everything that you would think would be a problem with terrorism, cliches, you know, with the FBI, with ethnicity, everything. It goes right for the jugular and all those things. But it's amazing. It's very clever. And I think it's one of the best mapped out shows on TV. I watch it in real time every Sunday night because I need to know what's happening.
Massive compliment. Okay. What else?
Okay. What else is new? I really like Scream Queens. I don't watch American Horror Story because I'm a wimp.
Me too.
But Scream Queens, you have to, I think, be above a certain age. I know this is a bit scandalous to say, but if you're younger than 25, you probably don't understand camp, and it is the campiest show you'll ever watch. I even give it a little, like, John Waters would like this show.
Got it.
So it's very campy, very well written, very Ryan Murphy. Emma Roberts is the lead. She's hysterical. She's beyond hysterical. And Jamie Lee Curtis plays the dean, also amazing. I don't think enough people are watching it. Do either of you watch it?
So I did. I will say I did watch the first episode, and I actually wrote my undergraduate thesis on camp. So I wish that
I just pushed up her imaginary glasses to say
exactly.
that.
Hashtag actually. And maybe I was just like, while I was watching it, imagining 20-year-olds watching it, but I was like, it makes me a little uncomfortable, maybe because it's so campy, because there were parts of it that I was like, I think this might actually just go way past camp to offensive.
Is it like Rocky Horror style?
No, it's sort of like, I hate to say Pitch Perfect style when it tries to be campy, but we just have, we're so PC now that campiness is very hard to wrap our heads around. Like, is it campy? Is it offensive?
Yeah.
And it is. It's very offensive. Yeah. But I think you have to watch it in the context of 4 shows and 5 shows. And the thing I hate when people say, and I'm sure you do too, is, oh, you didn't like it? Like, you have to watch 6. You have to watch 4.
Right,
and
I'm
like, I didn't like the pilot. Nope. I'm not going to watch a show.
I do know enough to know that the pilots are never the best example of a show. I will give you that. Like watching the pilot is never going to give you the whole impression of the show. And your opinion obviously means enough that I will go back and try
give
it again.
Give this another
yeah,
go.
Yeah, totally.
The other thing to remember is if there's nothing in the pilot that grabs you, I get it if you abandon it.
Yeah.
You know, until someone, a couple people you trust say like, hey, wow, the show got good. Or like,
I'll tell you what grabbed me in the pilot of that show. So Emma Roberts is like the lead bitch in the sorority and all of her underlings are named Chanel. So it's Chanel number 1, Chanel number 2, Chanel number 3 through 5, which I really enjoyed.
It's very clever. It's very clever. It does toe the line between offensive and campy. So there is that.
Yeah.
And that's a sort of extreme version of a show out there. Now, here's something that I'm surprised I like, because I do not watch a lot of sitcoms. They say people who tend to, like, really love dramas sort of eschew the sitcoms a little more.
Okay. Yeah.
So here's a good show, Life in Pieces.
I've never heard of it.
I've never heard of this.
Okay, well, then they have to fix their advertising because it's comparable to Modern Family in that it is about a modern family. It's separated into either three or four segments a show, and you've got three siblings and their families and dating life plus their parents.
Okay.
Does this sounding familiar at all?
Yeah. No. Okay. Zoe, wait, what's her name?
Zoe Kazan?
No, I'm losing her name. Anyway, go ahead. This is pointless.
Zoe Lister-Jones.
Yep.
Yes. You're thinking about.
That's now, the one.
Because she's hip and she's from Brooklyn and that's who you guys would think of. So she's also extraordinarily talented. She's a writer. She's written stuff for Greta Gerwig.
Yes.
She's great. She's actually the best part of the show. She's another actress I'd say keep an eye on. The women in that show are the ones who caught my attention. But the parents are the head of the household are Diane Weiss and Josh Brolin. I mean, hello. Right. Diane Weiss goes to my gym, by the way. I saw her last week and I almost fell off the elliptical machine. Her
body is rightfully so.
Shape. I was like, moving to a cabin in the woods. Thanks, Ella. You were lovely.
Amazing.
Can we talk about shows that have been on like one season that people still have time to catch up on over the course of a weekend?
Absolutely. I have that list too, believe it or not.
So, I believe it.
I'm sure you guys believe it.
Yeah.
So the absolute best comedy on TV right now, and I know I'm doling out superlatives left and right. It's not, you know that I'm a little more cautious about this, but okay. Absolute best comedy on TV right now, and potentially the best show is You're the Worst.
I just started watching it. Yeah, I have seen that, and it is really good.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
They make those characters hateable in the most likable way.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally exactly. And I'm not ashamed to say I both relate to and aspire to be these characters. So You're the Worst is on FXX. It was on FX. It's an extraordinarily dark, dark, dark comedy. Aya Cash is unbelievable. All the actors on the show are great. They have four main characters in their 30s just like muddling through life.
Wait, I'm getting it confused. This is so, I shouldn't say this on air. Is this the one with Julie Klausner? That's the different
one. No, that's Difficult People.
Okay.
Also amazing,
same name, basically.
Yeah.
Same name, right?
Similar name.
You're the Worst is the one about the two who are just like hooking up at first. Or like think they're hooking
up. It's funny because that's sort of like the premise. It's like, you know, they're both the worst. That's the name of the show. Everyone on the show, the worst.
Yes.
But you can catch up. It's only about 12 or 13 episode seasons. It's about halfway through the second season now. But the whole first season's on Hulu. And they're dealing with, just really quickly, they're dealing with clinical depression. And it's not just a glossed over one episode thing. It's a story arc. And it's fantastically dealt with. There have been tons of articles written about it. And it's on FXX. Like, this is something you don't go to for that.
Completely. I have only watched one episode of that, and you just made me want to go back and watch more.
I mean, do it. Think about it. 13 episodes. Yeah.
You've got time for
like
that. Well, and I'm super interested in any comedy that's dealing with clinical depression in a way that is good and authentic.
I recommend that. That's before anything else. iZombie, also, in its second season right now. Are you guys Veronica Mars fans?
Huge.
Massive.
Don't even ask that. It's like in
Team
Logan.
I was asking
Team
rhetorically, right?
Logan. For life.
Logan for life.
Spelled with a Y.
Right. Okay.
What are the kids watching?
Yes.
I mean, what are the kids watching?
Besides Pretty Little Liars.
They're watching You're the Worst. They were watching Mr. Robot. Did you guys get into Mr. Robot?
I heard that they were watching Mr. Robot from the one kid I know.
They're watching a lot of Netflix and Hulu, right? So
yeah.
Aziz's show, which is brand new, Master of None, unbelievable.
So funny. I just started watching it. Yeah.
What else is coming out on the platforms, not the networks, that we need to know about, that we need to pay attention to?
Okay, so Casual, the Jason Reitman show that already hit, that's on.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do it by platform. So Hulu, you've got Casual, you've got Difficult People, which is Julie Klausner and Billy Eichner. Yep. You know Billy Eichner from Billy on the Street. Mm-hmm. Julie Klausner has a great podcast. She's just a great personality, wrote that show.
That one reminds me of like a 90s sitcom in a really good way. Where it just...
Oh, yeah. It's like everyone and their gay best friend.
Exactly. Exactly.
Will and Grace.
Yeah.
Specifically then.
It is. It's Will and Grace for this generation. I mean, my best friend, he's in New York, and I watch the show. I'm like, we said all these lines. No one wrote these. Someone just walked behind us, wrote down what we said. There, it's a TV show.
That's amazing.
So Difficult People and Casual are on Hulu. Also, a little shout out to Mindy Project, which has moved to Hulu. Can be a little more risque and is really, I'm laughing out loud.
It's really good this season. I love it this season.
So that's Hulu. Amazon has, I think it's called The Man in the High Castle that people are really liking.
Who was just telling us about that?
Lindsay Green.
Yes, really into that show. Yeah. She is.
This is about basically what would have happened if Germany and Japan won World War II and took over the United States.
So easy premise. Just pretty straightforward premise.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect.
So people are really liking that. Transparent is coming back on December 11th.
The first season was awesome. As everyone already knows. Thanks. Aren't they so glad that I said that?
Listen, people care about your opinion. Uh-huh. Okay, I have another question. Are we missing what's coming out on Roku? Is that not a plan?
I don't know. Things probably, but Netflix. Netflix. Netflix, you've got Master of None. You have Jessica Jones coming out. That's Marvel. I think they're doing some documentary stuff, and I know there's a series that I'm missing, but I'll probably think of it in the next couple minutes. So I want to make sure to answer all your questions because I feel like an advice column, and I would feel like I was remiss if I didn't help you out here.
Yeah, completely. Okay, here's a big question we have. Who's going to be the next Shonda Rhimes?
I'm nodding over here. That's my next question.
Today I decided to start calling her TV HBIC.
Oh, yeah, she's like totally that.
TV HBIC. Because she needs six letters to describe how amazing she is.
In case anyone's wondering, we are huge Shonda Rhimes fans over here. Read her book, like, watch everything. Love her, love her, love her.
And if you don't know who Shonda Rhimes is, she created Grey's Anatomy.
If you don't know who Shonda Rhimes is, get out of here.
That's right. Okay. Fair.
If you don't know who Shonda Rhimes is, just turn off anything you're listening
to. Because, go watch Scandal.
Yeah. All right, Danielle, give it to us.
The next Shonda Rhimes is Shonda Rhimes. There's no one like Shonda Rhimes.
No.
There's no one out there that's a multi-hyphenate producing stuff like that, who's a female doing it.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of a male producing tons of shows on a broad spectrum, that's Greg Berlanti.
Right.
Greg Berlanti did Everwood. I think he worked on Dawson's. He's got a million, anything you turn on, he's got his hand in Supergirl. Anything you turn on right now, I think he just did a deal for three more shows, four more shows. He's fantastic and involved in everything, great ideas, does great dramas, dramedy. Greg Berlanti should be talked about more. He's not as much because he didn't create this block of shows, but he's got a hand in everything.
That's really interesting.
How's Supergirl? Because you know I love me some Calista Flockhart, Ally McBeal for life.
Who doesn't? I did an Ally McBeal binge and had to watch the entire series in like 2 weeks something for EW a couple months ago. So, by the way, it doesn't hold up. Sorry. But
I had a feeling it might not. That's actually why I have not gone back and rewatched it. I don't trust my 7th and 8th grade taste.
No, don't. But she's really good in Supergirl.
She looks good from the previews.
What does hold up? What should we, if we have a free weekend / get sick / are really tired of, you know, having family politics fights or something or whatever people do over Thanksgiving, what should we watch in bulk?
I mean, I feel like you know my answer to this, but it's always Buffy. It'll always be Buffy. It'll never not be Buffy.
Yeah. That's authentic. That's you doing you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's me doing me. I mean, I can't veer from that path because I honestly believe it. Vulture's doing like a high school show culture bracket right now.
Yes.
And it's almost down to Buffy versus My So-Called Life. Although if someone chooses Friday Night Lights over Buffy, I don't know what's wrong with them. I know you guys probably would, so.
I haven't watched Buffy. This is shameful. Shameful, Danielle. I'm sorry.
No, it's not shameful. One thing I've learned, and I want to teach this to everyone, I think this is important wisdom to impart that I've learned working at EW. When someone hasn't seen a show like Buffy or The Wire or Friday Night Lights, instead of saying, I cannot believe you haven't seen that show, if you think they'll like it, just say, I really think you would like it. You should give it a chance.
And not shaming
more
people.
More likely to make that person watch
it. You're right. You're totally right. Is there anything that you have refused to binge watch or catch up on for whatever reason? Like, I think Breaking Bad. Have you watched Breaking Bad?
Okay, so I haven't watched Breaking Bad.
Whoa, that's a big admission from you, I think.
This is something I've read on your Twitter and clearly have remembered, have kept that in whatever part of my brain cares about these things.
The thing about Breaking Bad is this. I firmly believe when you watch a movie or TV show, if you have some sort of context other than the show going on in your life, sometimes you just don't like it for a reason that has nothing to do with the show,
yeah.
and it's an association.
Yeah.
That happened with me in Breaking Bad. I watched the first 5 episodes. It wasn't a great time in my life when I watched them. That said, I want to go back to it, but I want to go back to it when I can focus on it, right?
Yes.
I want to give it my full attention, and I haven't been able to. And I hate when people tell me to watch things. I got to wait until people stop telling me to watch it. Then I'll watch it.
That is such a good point. I started watching Mad Men with an ex, and stopped watching it after season 3 because we broke up, and I was like, I don't want to do that anymore.
It just felt like tied to that moment in your life.
Same with me in Mad Men, too, season 3.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Okay, I think one last question. How should we be watching TV? What hardware should we be using? Like, how are we thinking about this in 2015? Do we need cable? No, right?
I need cable because I need to flip. I need to get home and see what's on reruns, and that's how I discover a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. I work at EW.
Yeah.
Right. I just got the new Apple TV, which is amazing because when you look up a show, it tells you if something's on iTunes, Netflix, or Hulu as
This is the
so
feature I've been waiting for.
Did you hear Claire's intake of breath?
The amount of time I spend complaining about this on my version 2 or whatever Apple TV, I'm sold. Thank you. Why didn't they just tell me that exists? I'm sold.
I'm telling you that.
Thank
I'm
you.
The commercial for it. Get
Thank
Apple,
you,
Daniel. I have Apple TV and Roku, by the way, so I can watch Amazon. So,
okay.
Or just come to my house. That's
Perfect.
The way to watch television. Come
Perfect.
To my house.
Everybody's invited over.
Yeah.
How's Scandal Night for you? Good?
Yeah. We'll do. Wait, I know that Erica said it was last question, but I have
but
an
this
important
is a bonus
question.
Last question.
Yeah, this is a bonus last question nobody else cares about. Have you heard about this new show, Murder Town USA, with Jada Pinkett Smith?
More.
Well, I just read about it today because apparently it takes place in Wilmington, Delaware, my hometown, which has also been labeled Murder Town USA. So now there's a new show by the guy who created Numbers.
With the backwards E, that's a 3. That one.
Jada Pinkett Smith is the star. One of the 3-letter networks picked it up. ABC, CBS, I'm not sure which. NBC, maybe even. And it takes place in Wilmington.
ABC, I'm looking up right now.
Thank you. So if you could just keep an eye on that and keep us updated if we need to watch that, if it's giving my hometown a bad name. It already is. It's giving it the name Murder Town. So
I'll give you one quick bit, and that's that it was only ordered to pilot, I believe, so you may
never
see it.
Oh, snap. Snap.
Snap. I'll
Danielle.
Tell my Facebook feed.
Thank
Calm
you
down.
So much for this. We might have to make this a regularly occurring feature on this podcast because
Most
the people want to know.
I would love to come back. You need more specific questions, though, because I feel like I loaded up too much information.
No way. This is the best.
Yeah, this is what we want. This is what we ask for.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Everybody, you've been listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We are here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You should subscribe on Stitcher or iTunes. You should sign up for our newsletter at ofakind.com.
You can also find us on heritageradionetwork.org, which is the wonderful, amazing nonprofit organization that hosts this this podcast and many other amazing ones about food. If you are thinking about year-end giving, I vote for them.
Big thumbs up.
Give them your money. They're an awesome, awesome thing. Place,
That's the show.
Company. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.